MLM Nation, episode 757.
Welcome to MLM Nation, a podcast of leaders, by leaders, for leaders, hosted by Simon Chan. He's built a team of over 200,000 and is now a full-time MLM coach and trainer. So if you're ready to level up your business, join us now. Let's do this.
MLM Nation, this is Simon Chan. I'm fired up to bring our special guest today. And this is a very different type of episode. And I'll talk a little bit more about it. But I'm actually really nervous to do this, even though I'm about to bring on Rob Sperry. Hey, Rob, are you ready to make it happen?
I'm always ready to make it happen. I'm just going to feed off your energy.
Hey, so MLM Nation, this is a different episode. I'm a little nervous about it. And it's because I want to do something different, right? I was thinking about, I do a lot of personal development. And I've been listening to a lot of people. And like one of the favorite podcasts lately for me is My First Million. And I'm just hearing about like people who are making 8-9 figures in other type of businesses talking. It gives me ideas about technology. And I'm thinking, wouldn't it be cool if I born in someone that I really respect and there's no agenda, nothing, and we just talk about what's happening in the world? And because I think you listeners out there, some of you feel like these leaders are on a pedestal, right? Like, and Rob is definitely someone that's achieved so much. But in the end, we are just real people like you. So we're basically very little preparation whatsoever. I think I just want to talk to Rob and let you guys hear and know that how we think and what our thoughts are. So anyway, we have Rob, and Rob really doesn't need the introduction. He was a top leader in network marketing before he became a consultant to direct selling profession. He's been an author like 10 times, a best-selling author, and also one of the top MLM trainers. He's also been featured in numerous of publications, has been featured on MLM Nation 3 times, on episode 176, 378, and 589. But one of the main reasons I want to bring Rob on is because he's someone I can relate to. I've seen him grow tremendously, but he's got a family, many kids, and does coaching tennis, came from a sports background. So anyway, Rob, welcome to the show. I keep rambling, but I want you to hear you talk.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. And I'm excited to have this conversation. I think these are some of the most fun conversations because you just never know which direction you'll go. And also, I think it's great. It's like you're peeling back the layers to really just get to the core of different things. And people need to realize that. They need to realize that, yeah, we are real people. Every single person is just a real person. Every single person still goes through the highs and the lows. Every single person still has, the human nature type elements. There's certain things that people are strong at, certain things that people are weak at. And then there's certain principles that are very similar for all successful people, even though they had different journeys to obtain it. A lot of the principles can be very, very similar. And I know you and I have talked about a lot of those, just, some of the commonalities that we have, which we have many, many, many commonalities. And that's why we get along so well. And so thanks for having me on. And I'm honored to be able to do maybe the very first different type episode that you've done of this.
Yeah, I used to call them behind the scenes of what's going on with me and MLM Nation, but I really want to know what's going on with you, right? And how you think as well. I think in network marketing, people always say, copy what top leaders do. I think more importantly, is copy how they think. So let me start off and ask you, you just came from a great event. And if those who don't follow Rob, I'll put the links on the show notes. And by the way, Rob is a great podcast as well. We'll talk more about that later. But you just finished an event, breakthrough event in Utah. Tell me a little bit about it. And how many people were there? And what were some of the major takeaways you had?
Yeah, it was fun. We had, I think peak was Saturday. We had, I think 120 people there. We had 250 or 60 people on the live stream. And so it was a phenomenal event. We brought some of the best speakers from all over the world to come in and share their insights and perspective. And a lot of it is of course, we were teaching network marketing practices and principles, but I would say 80% of the content could have been related to any industry. Actually, maybe even more than that, could have been related to any industry. And as we know, it really always starts with the mind. And so, I think you were the one that I remember saying a while ago, mindset will eat skills and systems for breakfast. And so that was the core of where we started with it, was really just opening the mind, giving different mindset tips, And of course, people hear these things all the time. So it's a stretch for me and the speakers to try to find different ways to convey that, to communicate that. And so I did that this time. I spent a lot of time on presentations for really showing visuals and videos of different people that had gone through it. So one of the stories that I know you know without even talking to you, or I assume, is we just shared how, you know, Mr. Beast is the number one YouTuber in the world. And he has, I don't know, 140 something million subscribers. And so we talk about this, and in it, I really talked about the importance of, we don't truly lack motivation. Really the root of it is we lack vision. So if you think you lack motivation, really what you lack is vision, because when you have the vision, you're motivated in anything in life. You just had a health scare, right? I've seen it happen with top celebrities or leaders. All of a sudden now, this person couldn't eat well or work out, and all of a sudden they can eat well or work out because the vision just became very clear. So we show Mr. Beast, and then we show a video that he did in, I think, 2015. He's in high school and he has 8,000 subscribers, and he just looks like literally in high school trying to figure life out. It's awesome. He's rambling all over the place in different directions. He keeps getting distracted. He starts saying weird things like, what if I'm dead when this video posts? And just weird things. And he said, I'm posting this video and I'm going to forget about it, and I'm going to post for it to go live in 5 years from today. And he said, and my goal is I'm going to have 1 million subscribers. He said, I better have 1 million subscribers. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a failure if I don't. I'm going to do it. I'm good. I better have 1 million subscribers. And he lets the video, right, just lets it go. And 5 years later, of course, we know he becomes the number one YouTuber in the world. But at the time, he only had 8,000 subscribers. And so these were things that we shared and dove deep into to give people both celebrity examples, as well as, like, I gave personal examples and other people to help them to understand, you know, the power of vision. And then we gave different tools and techniques for them to create and recreate their vision, because in all aspects of life, successful people just do the basics better. And so it's always trying to get back to those basics to do them better and better. And then, of course, we hear all the other speakers, right? It's great.
You know, Mr. Beast, I don't really watch that much YouTube stuff, but I just discovered Mr. Beast recently because just from other people talking about him. And it's amazing. It's like the first, I think he actually hasn't, initially, he didn't profit much. He put everything he earned back into videos. Right. I think one of his average video costs like $1 million, $2 million. I think he recently spent $5 million to make a video. So every money he makes, he puts it back. Like the concept, again, successful people, they reinvest in themselves. And another thing is, I don't know if you know this, but you know, he values his time really just like all successful people. Do you know about his assistants?
I haven't heard about his assistants.
So he has two full-time people. Yeah. They work 12-hour shifts, right? So all he, because he's so focused on, I got to get the next video, that all he does is these full-time assistants, one works like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. The other one works 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. And all they do is they sit in the car outside his house. And if he wants something, like, I want to get Chipotle, he just texts this guy, get me the Chipotle, right? If he wants, I need to get these books and pick it up, need some groceries, go do this. So this guy is like a 24-7 on-call with him, 12 hours, 8 a.m., to 8 p.m. shift, another guy 8 p.m. day. He wants pizza at night. He just calls this guy and he just texts him. He doesn't order anything online. This guy is his 24-hour personal assistant because every second is focused on his vision.
That is so powerful.
And I think recently he went on a retreat with other successful people and he brought his assistant. So at the retreat, he's at the retreat doing all this stuff. His assistant's outside in the car, outside at that retreat area. And once he thought of ideas, he may just text assistant, and assistant's working there.
And what's crazy is a lot of people are listening to this thinking right now, well, yeah, you know, when I make, you know, tens and tens of millions and I'm valued at over $100+ million, then I'll do that. And what they don't understand is you want to get there, you have to start scaling to do that right now. But most people don't know how to value their time now, right? Like you and I know that whatever we outsource, we're going to take the time that we have available and we're going to get enough done that the return on that investment of time is so high. Someone else could say, well, I can't hire somebody to go mow my lawn, right? I can't afford spending an extra $40. That's because they aren't taking the time that the other person is saving them and utilizing it properly. And you and I both know we are obsessed with time management and making sure that, you know, we use our time to the best of our ability. And of course, we're still not there yet. We never will be there. We'll always continually improve on that. But that's where we focus on progressing in that area.
Well, one of my mentors once asked me, because I used to think, I'll get an oil change, right? I hate doing an oil change. Now, if you enjoy doing an oil change as part of your hobby, a stress reliever, that's one thing. And I actually know people who do enjoy getting an oil change or mowing the lawn. But if you don't, my mentor asked me, like, you know, how much are you worth? And I'm like, well, he actually, first of all, no one ever asked me that question, right? And then he asked me, well, what would you like to make in your business? So I'll have to make $250,000. Well, they're good, Simon. Then you are worth $150 because it's $50 for every $100,000, assuming you work 8 hours a week, right? So you're worth $150 an hour. So Simon, would you be, if you're making $250,000 in your network marketing business, and that's $150 an hour, would you go out there and, well, actually, I have to do the math. You know, I'm Asian, but I'm not good at math. Is that right? If I work 40 hours a week,
You keep talking. I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, you're gonna look it up. Okay. So anyway, for somebody that had a brain freeze, I believe it's $25 for every $50,000. So it's $125 an hour if you want to make $250,000, right? So anyway, my mentor said, "Well, would you pay someone $100-something to mow your lawn?" I was like, "No way. It's only like $10. I can get a high school kid to do it." So, well, Simon, why are you worth only $10 an hour? So go out there and is the math correct?
It's about $120 an hour.
$120 an hour make $250,000. Yeah. $120. So if you want to make $250,000, just say you got to be like Rob says, you got to start acting like that top leader. Would you pay someone $120 an hour to mow your lawn or do oil change? Heck no. So go hire someone to do it. You can hire someone for $10, $15 an hour to do it. That was one of the things. Game changers for me. So at that event, like going back to the, I know you've been doing multiple events. The one that I'm really interested in is you went to one that Bora Bora. And the reason I'm interested in our friend Brian Fry spoke there. Yep. Bora is also where I went for my honeymoon, one of the most beautiful places. Tell me more about that event because you go, every time I see your Facebook, it seems like you're going somewhere really cool. You really, I think Maldives, right? And then you went Bora Bora. So tell me about
It's been a lot of fun. So we do these leaders masterminds, and it's for people that in network marketing that have made a minimum of 6 figures in a year. Now, of course, there's some that whatever they transition companies or something happened. As long as they've done it right, then we're fine. We just want to make sure that it's someone who's qualified because they're high level conversations. Because you have many 7 and 8 figure earners there as well. And so we started out just doing one. Seeing how it would go, and people loved it. We found about 80% of people come back for multiple, which for us was the feedback we needed. And so then we started doing 2 a year, and this last year we did 3. And so we've done cool places like Dubai, and then we went to Belize and rented out an island, and we went to Maui, obviously just Bora Bora. We're going to Monte Carlo next, and we have some other insane locations planned out. But when we go to these events, the goal is to have less than 30 people because I want it to be intimate and small enough that you can actually get to know people, that you can have real deep conversations. I send out a questionnaire before because I want to know what they specifically want covered. So I'm not talking at them. I'm talking with them. And then I'll prepare content and have some incredible guest speakers like Coach Brian Fryer that's been to, I think, 6 of them. And I'll leave as well plenty of open time for us to discuss whatever it is they want to discuss. So at the very beginning, we'll just list out what do you want to cover? And typically it's like 30 things we list out and then we prioritize those things. And then I'll start out and lead the discussion and ask questions. But my goal is I don't want to be the person dominating conversations. I want to speak, you know, 20% of the time and then bring the best out from everybody else, right? Kind of like you on your podcast, you're so good at asking questions. And so I do that. And so some people don't understand a topic, so they're the one asking questions. And other people, that's their expertise. And so they're providing value to everyone else. And it's the results we've seen have just been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, we just had one guy, he just reached out to me yesterday and showed how he had doubled his organization in the last year. And of course, it's not all the mastermind. I would never say that, but he said it was one of the three things that helped him the most. And then, you know, this, your network is your net worth.
Yeah.
It's not about them joining your business. We keep it completely safe and generic. It's, these are lifelines. Maybe someone else is smashing it on some new social media platform that we haven't even heard of 2 years from now, but you got to know them in the mastermind. You see that and you just reach out and you say, hey, Joe Schmo, I see your question on this. Like, can you share with me? And they're always happy and willing to help. So that's the big part of it. And then how do I decide where? The secret is I just say to my wife, I'm like, where do I want to go next? And she says, I want to go to Bora Bora. I want to go to Monte Carlo. And I'm like, all right, everybody, next mastermind. This is where we're going. So
that's awesome.
That's how we decide.
Hey, so everyone is building on social media at that event. How many people were at Bora Bora?
Bora Bora, we had 26.
26. And everyone is building on social media, correct?
Everyone is building on social media. Some are really good and some are above average.
So I got to ask this question. I'm interested. So of the 26 people, you say some people like to, you know, talk, some people like to ask. Who talked the most?
John Milton.
Yeah, no surprise. who asked the most questions?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would have to go back and look at everybody's faces and names to see who on that. Can I ask another question? I'm going to go look at my chat real quick.
No, I think getting back to what you said, it's not just what you learn, it's the environment, because it's like, it's very inspiring. Right. When you have other people successful, it just puts you, it's like going through the quote, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And even though these people may not join your business, it's the inspiration that you get from there. It's the relationships, the inspiration.
100%. I would say Annika from Australia.
Well, I know Annika Martin.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
I would say she asked, Annika, if you're listening, that's a compliment. She was freaking fun. She's so amazing. Everyone just got along with her so well. She was one of those.
Tons of energy, too.
Yeah. She's one of those culture builders, right? You always have to have three or four of those people that bring the whole group together. And she just made best friends with everybody. And she asked a lot of really good questions.
Yeah. So ask me some questions. What are some things you want to talk about? I have other things to talk, but
yeah. So of course we know there's no such thing as balance as possibly balance. And I look at it as we try to look at where we're the most out of balance. But for you, how have you prioritized your time, you know, with your business? Because in your business, you've continually still crushed it, but you found ways to spend more and more and more time with your family, which was a big part of course of your vision. So how do you make those decisions, and how have you been able to decide, you know, what to get rid of, what to keep, what to do next from a business standpoint? And then of course, with your crazy schedule with your kids.
Yeah. It's, I guess it has to do a couple other things, a bunch of things. You know, when you say the crazy schedule, like yesterday was a good example where, you know, all three, playing baseball, two travel ball, one little league, 7-year-old. And we have three baseball events going on three different locations. And we don't have any in-laws here. My parents still live in New York. My wife's parents live in Vancouver. So we have no help at all. So I think it's really about taking time. Oh, this weekend is going to be a challenge too. Two boys have 2-day tournaments. And my youngest one, praise God, has no event. It's a practice, but no game. But my wife, I told her she's going to do some handbag bingo night and school fundraiser. I was like, go ahead and have fun. But I'm like, what am I going to do with three boys? Especially my oldest, his game's at 6 and 8 p.m. at night. And my other one's early in the morning. But I think it goes back to you have intense planning. The calendar has to be a boss, planning things out. And know that, so I don't work much. Like, my oldest son has ambitions to play baseball at a high level, right? So I was like, as a dad, and I can just relive my memories, he loves it. So I not only practice with him 7 days a week with a batting cage, you know that. But I'm also like his personal chef. I make sure he eats well because he's like almost 12. He eats like two lunches, sometimes two dinners. And you know, when you play, you're just eating tons of food. So I got to make sure that if my wife picks him up, then it's just different. He's sitting in the car while he, you know, for 30 minutes while the other kid who gets off a little later. And that's a waste of time. So, you know, I'll go pick him up. I'll work with him. So one of it is just knowing that I don't work after 2 o'clock, really. It's 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. I don't work much. I may do some stuff later on, but like after 5 p.m. But it's really structuring it, right?
So was that before you started working more and more with your son? Were you typically done by two anyways, or is that a new adjustment?
That is a new adjustment because I realized he's at an age level. Now, I used to just work to like 3:30. My wife would pick him up and then he would hang out. Because like, so it's weird with three boys. And you know this. My oldest son gets off at 2. My other one gets off at 2:30. Another one gets off at 3. So my wife will make one trip and pick all three of them up at the same time, right? But then it's wasting. My oldest son's wasting a lot of time. And he's played on two club teams. He's got to eat. He's got to work out. So I say, I'll pick him up. I'm committed. You know, because again, I'm only going to be doing this for another couple of years, maybe 2 years. And then he's into high school. And then I'm always going to, you know, regret losing this moment. Right. So I pick him up. We work in the batting cage. He actually takes like a 5 minute break. We work in the batting cage for 20, 25 minutes. We do some light weights. I cook him a second lunch. It's normally like chicken breast or pasta or steak and pasta. And then he does some homework. And then we go to practice, right? His team practice. And then my wife does the other boys. And when the other boys...
How long have you done this for, real quick?
We start with this new schedule since late August last year. For the last 10 months.
And you do it 5 days a week?
5 days a week.
And how much extra batting practice do you think he gets?
Oh, he gets about minimum 20 to 30 minutes a day extra, 7 days a week.
Wow. I mean, if you look at that, even if that's 40 weeks a year, not 52 weeks, right? And so we say 2.5 years, we go with 100 weeks, you know, where you're doing this and you're saying, you know, 5 days a week, that's 500 days times 30 minutes, 15,000 minutes of extra batting practice that he's going to get in 2.5 years. Like, I just want people to, I just want to put in perspective of when we say successful leaders don't disrespect time, they understand like how important that is and how it truly does compound and add on. Simon's not just teaching it to you. He's living it and he's teaching it to his kids. So keep going.
How many hours is that? 15,000? 15,000 divided by 60.
250 hours.
So check this out. So since he, because I'm crazy, right? And I wasn't, and I think here's the good thing is I wrote about it in my book, my page one. I was the worst baseball player, right? But baseball was my love. My parents didn't really let me play. And that time there was no YouTube. But now in personal development, you can learn anything anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. So I just went on when he really liked baseball when he was almost six. So this was back in 2017, almost 6 years ago. We started about 6 years ago, in March of 2017. We have practiced like 7 days a week. Because my friend told me, Mike Trout, who some of you know, is considered the greatest baseball player in this last 25, this generation. His dad would do 75 swings with him in the basement. So I said, well, I could do 25, 50 swings to my kid. I'm not as crazy as Mike Trout. So I started that. So since the last 6 years, we've been doing swings, a minimum of 5 minutes a day, up to like 30 minutes. Every single day. And I'll tell Rob, since the last 6 years, we may have missed maybe 50 days only. And even on vacations, right? People think we're crazy. I'll bring a special training bat and a hotel. We go to the parking lot and we do a couple of swings, even for 5 minutes, right? Because, you know, it's like tennis. You got to stay in there. And I think that's what people need to hear about success. It's like, if you're building network marketing or anything, right? You got to keep at it every day. But that's, I figure, you know, whether he's going to be a professional or not, he's learning one thing. It's like hard work, consistency, and doing it even on days when you don't feel like it. You know, we've done days when it was raining and we hit outside for 5 minutes or we swing an indoor bat inside my house, something. But that is a big part of success. You know, Malcolm Gladwell's book, 10,000 Hours.
Yeah.
10,000 Hours. My son's definitely put over 10,000 hours. definitely over 10,000.
I think the key with that study is most people miss is the word from the study, because it was Erickson that did the study. It's 10,000 hours of deliberate practice.
Deliberate, right. And so surfing on for network marketing, surfing on social media, just check. Yeah. That's not building your business. That's like you actually presenting to people, speaking to people, getting rejection. That's the hour. But getting back to talk about the baseball, how I'm some of the stuff I've learned recently is just as you get older, like our body changes, right? Like my energy levels was not as good as people say I look young. It's like on the inside, I'm not as young as I look on the outside. But so my energy levels, I'm just making sure I eat differently. I fasting for energy.
Do intermittent fasting?
I still do it. Yes, I stop for a little bit. I do it. When I first started doing it, obviously not to lose weight. I have no weight to lose, but it's for mental toughness.
Yeah.
Right. Mental toughness. And one thing I found out that's really helpful, I used to stress out like, could I do 16 hours? I'm like, oh my goodness, when is my 16 hours up? When did I eat? And I was wasting a lot of mental energy just thinking about when to eat. So now I just have on my Apple Watch, once I take my last bite, I set a timer. And like, even right now we're recording, Rob, we have 40 minutes and 6 seconds left until I can eat. And it counts down, right? So that's I don't need cool. to think about it. It's not in my mind. I don't even think about the food.
I don't think you knew this, but I started doing intermittent fasting 10 years ago and everyone thought I was crazy. And I've done it for 10 straight years. And same thing. I just simplified what works for me is I just eat lunch, right? And I'm done after dinner. And so sometimes that schedule changes a little bit where it's a little bit less, it's a little bit longer. So it's not crazy rigid, but it's lunch. And once I eat dinner, which usually isn't very late, then I'm done. And for me, it's helped a lot too for the mental clarity, not bogged down. Also when I'm on the road a ton, and it's been tremendous for me and helped out a lot.
But that's why you're a beast. You're like, you need to take care of yourself. I was going to talk about this in the intro, but when I think of Rob Sparrow, I think of someone who executes. Like I've seen you grow your business from the first time we met. Like was it episode 176?
Beginning days.
Yeah, that was like I think in 2015. Like you've grown so much, but you execute, right? I remember you telling, "Oh, I want to do a mastermind." You execute. You want to do an event. You execute. You want to start your own podcast. You just get it done. And I think a lot of people they have a lot of great ideas, but they don't do any of it. But anything that you ever thought of, you get it done, and that's why I really respect you.
Well, I appreciate it. I know we're the same. We try to focus on. I think we may not start out the best as most people. And so we try to use discipline as the secret sauce power, which comes from a vision. And so that's why it's always challenging, right? That vision as you go. And I was thinking of when you were staying with your son, even some days you just do 5 minutes. For me, what changed my life, this is really simple advice, and it will make sense to you and so many listeners, is everyone creates these big goals. I create big goals. Everyone creates their normal goals of what they strive to do. Like maybe it's 30 minutes. Minimum that you're working with your son. But I am huge on creating the lowest level, non-negotiable minimum goal. And because I feel like that creates a win streak. And so, for example, I've missed in the last 15 years, 0 days of personal development. Are there times where I literally read for 1 minute? 100%. Is my goal to read an hour every single day? Absolutely. Do go on blitz and sprint runs where I do a little more studying and reading? Of course, but my minimum is the most important because what happens is, let's say you're someone that hates the gym and I challenge you to go to the gym twice a week because some goals are daily, some are weekly. And I said, go twice a week, just for 15 minutes. That's it. And never, ever miss, even if it's at home doing pushups or whatever. And you come back to me 12 weeks later and say, I haven't missed a week. All of a sudden now you went from, I don't work out to, yeah, I work out. Your identity shifted. And so win streaks change identity. And once you miss once, it turns into twice, three times, five times. Like today when I got my teeth cleaned and the guy's like, you get anything done today? And it's like 8:30 in the morning. I'm like, yeah, workout's done. He's like, oh, I stopped when COVID happened because they shut down my little gym. He got out of his win streak, right, that he had and didn't start a new one. And so, when you were saying that about your son and just that level of, and I know you've obviously your book, The Consistency Pill, but when you really focus on the minimum smallest thing, and the last thing I'll say on that is one of the books, because anytime I write a book, I find like 10 books on different topics to help me get my mind going. And one of the books I read is this guy couldn't floss his teeth. So his whole goal was to just to floss one tooth. That sounds so stupid to me. And it sounds stupid to him, but guess what? Who's going to floss just one tooth? But when your brain focuses on just flossing one tooth, you would end up typically flossing all of the teeth. And so that was his goal, no matter what. So that's just something that hopefully helps out all of you that are tuning in, that helped me out tremendously for truly changing your identity so you can have real change.
Yeah, I think most people don't understand it. It's like we always act consistent to how we see ourselves, right? You read that one page because you see yourself as, I'm Rob Sperry. I always do personal development. Even if it's for 30 seconds, you do it. So and like getting back to your dentist who stopped working out because he never saw himself as someone who works out. Right. Both of us see ourselves as someone workout, right? Even the days where we don't do something, we don't do 10 push-ups, we do the wind piece workout. And I talk about this in like in my book. It's like for a guy who wants to go get in shape, if he goes to the gym, he drives like 20 minutes and just goes in the gym for 5 minutes, the wind piece workout, and then leaves. But he does that every single day. Does that help? Right. Like health wise, it may actually not benefit much for 5 minute work, but mentally, he starts seeing himself as someone that works out. And that 5 minutes is going to go longer, longer, longer. As opposed to that dentist, like he didn't see himself as someone who works out, who likes to work out, as someone who sits. That's why he let like a pandemic stop him, right? Because the pandemic happened to all of us. I actually, ironically, I haven't been to a gym since the pandemic. Now I was in a gym, like some type of gym membership from whether it was college to afterwards, for like 30 years, from whether it was college to, and then when the pandemic stopped, I found out, hey, you know what? I'm just going to do push-ups at home. And I have like a pyramid push-up. I can do like 150 push-ups a day, like 7 days a week. And actually, I don't even need to go to the gym, right? The high school there's like a pull-up. You find ways to do that because the identity, right? So if you are listening and you're like, oh, I can't do that. Well, like change your identity. If you change the way you see yourself, you would do the things totally different.
So powerful. I love that. And it's a challenge. I get it. But too many people just keep hitting that ceiling, right, of their limiting beliefs over and over and over again. And so when you start small on those little goals and start building a little momentum, it's easier to start slowly seeing yourself as more and more and more till eventually there's a complete shift. It may not happen overnight, right? It's tough to say all of a sudden you're a gym person when you haven't been working out ever for 10 years. It's not going to happen from one day to the next. But if you can start really, really small with some of those consistency type goals, really low level, like Simon said, drive 20 minutes to go to the gym for 5 minutes, right? Eventually, you will start to change how you see yourself and start to believe more in yourself, which will actually give you a bigger vision and motivate you even more.
And I think, I was just talking to one of my best friends. His son hasn't played that well in baseball lately. He's getting a lot of anxiety, right, from his father, because his father, and I was just talking about the importance of rewarding activity instead of results. I think this applies to our profession, right? So for my son, like he can have a great game, he gets no reward, right? No reward, nothing. But if, as long as he has a great attitude, especially right now, he's going through a frustrating process with changing the swing. Sometimes he gets frustrated, he gets negative. But if he stays positive and works hard, he gets a reward. He gets Pokemon cards. He gets $10, something, some money. Because as long as you keep practicing, eventually you'll get the result, right? So he gets a big hit. He plays well this weekend, no reward. But he works hard. Like today, he's going to work hard. Despite maybe it's raining, he's still going out to practice. He gets a reward, right? So rewarding activity instead of results. And so last weekend, like, I think, it's hard. It's easy to say, but hard to do, but I've actually feel like I've grown as a parent where like he didn't hit well last weekend and he didn't pitch well, but didn't bother me. Right. What did bother me was he wasn't being assertive in the dugout, being proactive. Right. Because your result, you can't really control, but your attitude, like, oh, being down. Yeah. If you have down, you have a negative attitude, you're going to be punished. Right. I'll be upset about that. Going over, I told him, you go over 10 this weekend, we have another big tournament. Doesn't matter. As long as you have a positive attitude, I'll do something like, he likes Pokemon cards. Hey, I'll buy you a box of Pokemon box. Stay positive. Doesn't matter what you do. And I think these are the lessons. I think a lot of people, because in school, that's totally against the school mentality, right? Like, because he's 12 now. He has that school mentality. I can't make mistakes. in business, you got to make mistakes. In life,
it's a prerequisite. And, you know, when you look at it, it's that's why sports is so great, because, you know, I don't know what it is, if it's the same in Little League as it is in, you know, the Major League baseballs, right? Baseball. But if you're getting a hit one out of three times, you're doing phenomenal. And in tennis, if you're winning 51% of your points, you're winning all of your matches. The most dominant year of all time was Novak Djokovic, and he won 56% of his points. That's absolutely obliterating everyone else. 56% is obliteration. And so, you know, I look at that and I just smile, because it's just so small and it's so simple, but it makes all the difference. And the one thing you can control is your attitude. And so everything you look at is just pure perspective. I'm the same thing with my kids. I am literally livid and so mad and frustrated when their attitude sucks. And if they have the best attitude and I see them fighting and fighting and fighting, and they go out there and play awful or get their butts kicked, because we focus on tennis, they do different sports, but tennis is their main one. I don't care. I don't care if you lose every single tennis match, as long as you're going out there and showing me you're giving your all, instead of out there whining. I'm like, you know, when you're whining, all you're doing is telling mommy and daddy and the world why you're going to lose. You're ready. Your brain's already focusing on your alibi on why you lost before the match is even done. You already lost the battle inside your head. I said, so I want to see the opposite. I want to look over and think, if you're down and getting crushed, I want to look at your attitude and think, wow, he or she's winning because of the body language, which translates to everything else. And it's the same thing for all of you, not just parents, right? But for most of you in your business, you got to talk to yourself more and listen to yourself less. Because all too often our brain protects us from all the pains, and it starts saying, oh, don't do this, don't do that. You could fail. You could mess up here. You could do this. You could do that. And so I say, talk to yourself more, listen to yourself less. Anytime you have a negative thought come to your brain, in order to retrain your brain, I would write down three solutions. Put it in your phone, whatever app you're using, right? Write it down on a piece of paper or in your journal. And eventually, your brain's going to start to be fixated and focused on solutions, because it can't focus on problems and solutions at the same time, right? It's one or the other. So that's something that I coach and teach to my kids, to my students in network marketing, even the Leaders Mastermind. I'm like, you have to do this, and you feel like you're doing it well? Teach your teams. They come to you with a problem, make them come to you with three solutions as well. That's a leader of leaders. That's like a CEO of your business, rather than, oh, let me go solve that problem for you. So it applies to everything and makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, I love that. I wrote it down. I'm going to teach my son this. Talk to yourself less and listen to yourself. No, talk to yourself more. Listen to yourself less. And immediately come up with three solutions. Yeah. That's really, really good.
It's like he's coaching himself. That's what he needs to do. He needs
you got to take yourself out of that from a third person perspective. Because the most important thing you got to protect is self-doubt. Yeah. Right. You have to protect your self-esteem, your confidence, because once you have self-doubt in anything, then you're done. You might as well just lose. A great book. I'm sure you've read it. If you haven't read it, it's Wooden on Leadership.
Yeah. I need to read it again because I think I have not read that book in probably 8 years. And this last year, what I've done is started to go back instead of reading new books, unless it's like insanely recommended, is I'm trying to go back to the ones that had the greatest impact and study those again, is, you know, we're in different parts of our lives.
Yeah, that's another great tip for the listeners. Like, instead of reading more and more, being like a reading junkie, just reading more, going back to the classics and really applying. But that's where I got the punish and reward thing from Wooden. Because UCLA would win by 20 points, but the team was lazy, sloppy. They'll get punished the next practice and do the terrible like wind sprints and all that stuff. But if they lost, but they played hard, then they'll get an easy practice, get rewarded, which is totally.
Well, that's actually where I came up with successful people just do the basics better. Because when I was reading his book and he talked about how he would teach them how to put their socks on, and they would all get upset and angry and annoyed. And he said, look, if you don't put your socks on properly, then eventually you're going to get blisters, and then you could get injuries, and then you're out. And so he went through all of that. And I still remember in his book how he talked about, we never master anything because we're always learning. And so for me, it was like, oh, like, that's so true. We are always learning. So he's the greatest coach of all time. The principles he taught, just phenomenal.
Yeah. Hey, one last tip. Our time is going by so fast. It's something that I got recently to help me is the whip band. Okay. Again, yeah. I'm not getting the commissions by promoting this, but I heard it from a podcast and whoop, like in whooping your butt. And it measures the thing that got me into it. Do you know about this?
Yeah, I know about it. Talk about it real quick and then I'll tell you what I've done, but it's a little bit different. So I probably need to do both.
Yeah, the whip band, I like it because it measures your sleep and how well you sleep. So I sleep 7 hours. I need to hit 7 hours. If I sleep less than 7 hours, I don't do well. So measures your strain, your heartbeat, if I'm walking, and it'll tell you how much sleep you need. So obviously I don't get enough sleep. It tells me 8.5 hours. And I was like, with three boys, there's no way I can do 8.5 hours of sleep. But I sleep 7 and it'll actually tell me when I'm sleeping. I actually did not sleep. I may be in bed for 7 hours, but I only slept. Like last night, I was in bed for 7 hours, but I slept only 5 hours and 43 minutes. And I was awake 18% of the time, which wasn't good. So I was tossing and turning. I had some chocolate late at night, dark chocolate. It's probably some caffeine, which you should not take 10 hours before you sleep.
No.
Right. I had light 40% of light sleep, 20% of deep sleep. You want more of that deep sleep restored.
Yeah.
And only 22% of REM, which is okay. So it's incredible because there was one night where I was in deep REM for 30-something% and would immediately tell you, hey, seems like you had a long day yesterday. That's why you're in REM. And I was like, oh my goodness, you're right. Because I was on the baseball field for 5 hours walking around, right? And then the other day when I was in Vancouver, I had a little cough. I got it from my other son and I was waking up. It actually measured my skin temperature. It said, hey, your skin temperature is higher. You must be coughing a lot. It's incredible. So it's been really cool. It's actually just made me more aware of the rest I really need.
We spend, you know, whatever it is, everybody's a little different, but at least 25% of your life sleeping. Say it's 30%. I know some of you are like, no, I spend way more than that, whatever it is. But I think the most important principle there is sleep is one of the most important aspects of your life because we know the importance of energy. Energy so you're present, energy so you can spend it with loved ones, energy so that you can fulfill with your talents and grow your business. Energy, energy, energy. And when you look at someone even like LeBron James, he says, yeah, he spends $1 million on his body, but he said the most important thing still is sleep. Nothing is more important than that. And so spend the money on the mattress, spend the money on the pillow, spend the money on, you know, figuring out what temperatures, right? Like I've studied that as well as measuring with yourself and then find things that track it. So for me, what I bought was, it's called Sleep 8. Again, not affiliate or anything. We're just having conversations. There wouldn't be anything wrong if we were, but we're not, right? But Sleep 8. So it's very similar, except for it's a mattress cover and it will measure. So I'm looking up some of the things you said right there. Like it will give quality, routine, time slept, REM, light sleep, deep sleep, awake, just like you said. And so it says REM sleep, right? This is post-event when I'm just like exhausted. It said, I was over the hour and 30 minutes. I was an hour and 53 last night. Deep sleep. I was, I need to be over an hour and 10 and I was an hour and 49, which never happens. And then obviously gives heart rate, HRV, you know, your breathing rate, routine, all that stuff. But the other part about it, the thing that I love that I was sold on is it will adjust the temperature while you're sleeping. So, you know, sometimes like you start kind of sweating, your body gets hot. The Sleep 8 will cool down so that my body cools down a little bit. And the opposite. And so it will heat up, right? It's cold here in Utah, right? Sometimes even though the house is warm, I come in and I got a bone chill and it'll heat up. And so that's helped me out as well.
It's really cool.
Sleeping. And you can set it up too if you want to, where it will heat up at a certain time to kind of slowly wake you up in the morning, as well as you can do a lighter, just like a lighter vibration to kind of wake you up. And so, so that was a game changer. And then I'm similar to you. I'm obsessed. So it's like a game, right? I'm like looking at how well did I do? I'm like, oh, got to do better at this or same thing as you. I'm like, hello, caffeine way too late. So I got to adjust that, you know? And so it's something that we didn't even plan on talking about, which is just so fun. We're so similar in so many ways.
Yeah, you know, the caffeine, I realize, like, even some people say, I take caffeine, it doesn't bother me, I can still sleep, but your sleep is not as good. You're not as REM sleep.
Can you fall asleep? Sure. Yeah. Is your REM sleep is good? If it's not, then you're tricking yourself. You're lying to yourself.
You know, one of the major benefits. Oh, see, here's another thing, great podcast, the Huberman Lab podcast. Mm. Go check it out. I think you'll love it. They're long episodes, but very
Say it again.
Huberman. Andrew Huberman. H-U-R-B-M-B-R-M-A-N. I can text it to you afterwards. But it's actually, by the way, it went from zero to one of the most popular podcasts. If you just put Huberman or health, it pops up. One of the most downloaded popular podcasts within less than 2 years. He's a researcher at Stanford, but he talked about how one of the benefits of intermittent fasting is circadian rhythm. Right. Like, so just say, when do you eat your meal? When do you eat your first meal normally?
I'll eat my first meal at 11. And then usually my last meal usually is like 6:30.
So just like you naturally wake up around the same time, like 11, your body actually knows food is coming. We actually start secreting stomach acid in preparation for the food. Right. Or like when you talk, I'm bringing this up because you talk about the sleep blanket where like, your body knows it's about to wake up, so the temperature starts changing automatically. And then, of course, the sleep blanket would help that. But it talks about all about circadian rhythm, shutting it down. And people who like mess their circadian rhythms up, like people who like work one day and then in the evening and then wake up late the next day and all that stuff, they basically just way more prone to disease and all those bad diseases you want to avoid.
That makes a lot of sense, right? We get in rhythms and in routines, and it helps when it's like steady and your body can adjust to it.
Yeah. Hey, I know you need to wrap up. I have another meeting. I know you're busy, but this was a ton of fun. And actually, I think I was nervous at the beginning. I felt like it was a structure, but once we start talking about just random stuff, it was just like talking to you. I think that's what another motivation was. The last time we talked on Zoom, I was like, this would be so cool if other people just listened to the way we talk. Cause you talked about Bora Bora and other stuff. So any last words you want to say?
No, I think you and I could literally do a Joe Rogan easily and spend 4 hours and still always have more, which is, it's just fun in the sense that successful people have a lot of similarities, even though there's differences. And so what I would say is I'd finish with this. Anytime you listen to anything, whether it's a book, a podcast, or a leader, extract the principle, because techniques can vary depending on the individual. So let me give an example. The world loves boldness. It makes people curious. It's contagious. But your level of boldness could be completely different than, say, someone else. My mentor, his level of boldness, right, was like, he started on network marketing. He's like, give me your credit card. We're making a huge run, right? And that was his level of boldness. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard anyone say from my level of boldness, right? And so you have to find a way to be the bold version of yourself. So the point is learn to... You're not mimicking them from a technical standpoint always, sometimes. But like you said, you're mimicking the mindset and the thoughts, and you're extracting the principles. What's the overall lying theme? And so it took me a while to learn from my mentor. No, the principle is the boldness he has. The technique and the delivery I don't really love or agree with, but the guy's a freaking legend. He's awesome. So I'm going to extract the principles of everything he teaches. And then I'll say, okay, do I like the technique? Do I not? Sometimes you know, sometimes you don't know. And I'll apply it with my own unique style and personality and create my own journey. And so that would be my parting advice for anytime you're listening and obviously learning.
Yeah, I think that's awesome advice, especially in the training space. I think a lot of network marketers, they get overwhelmed because, you know, Rob said this, but Brian Fry said this, but Frazier Brooks said it this way, but Ray Higgins said this way. And they all worry about the small technicalities. And you're missing out the whole picture. The principles and the values are still the same. The exact script may be a little bit different, but the principles behind those, why they work out.
And last question. One of these days, I know it's insane with your schedule. I'd love to get you to come to one of the Leader of Leaders masterminds and speak. I know it's tough with schedules. It's got to be probably the exact perfect weekend or day of the entire year. But I'm just throwing it out there, my man.
Oh, hey, I can't complain, but Monte Carlo, the next one? Or
Monte Carlos, June. I don't know what baseball tournaments there are. You may have to bring your
Such
son.
Hard to, work. Hey,
we're practicing on the plane.
you know, June may be difficult. I think that I saw the dates, but maybe the next one. The next one you may do in the jungle, safari.
We'll see. We're thinking February, and we're trying to make plans and eventually start getting ahead so we can give people time to plan if like 2 or 3 in advance. So
yeah, that'd be cool. Hey, so MLM Nation, couple of things. Number one, definitely go follow Rob. He's got great, great content. Rob Sperry, you can find him on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. We'll put in the link in the show notes, but you probably just search on social media, you see it. Good stuff. Check out his events as well. And if you are a six-figure earner, definitely I highly recommend. You all know me. I don't promote much stuff, but his stuff is good. And Rob has been around this game for a long, long time. Someone that, not just someone as a friend, but someone I really trust. So go check him out as well. And let me know if you like these type of episodes. You know, if you want to learn, I mean, Rob is a infinite wisdom there. Tons of wisdom out there. Actually, that's the wrong word because only God has infinite wisdom, but a wealth of wisdom and stuff. And if you want to hear more of these episodes, let me know when we can do more because they're a ton of fun. I could talk to you forever, Rob. So anyway, we're out of here. Go follow Rob and let us know if you like this. And remember, go apply, like Rob said, go apply those principles, apply it to your business, and have a positive impact on someone's life today. God bless you all.